Genesis, and let me just go back. Very good. Thanks, Al. Well, we're back in Genesis. Somebody said when I came back, he says, I want to hear more of Abraham. So here we are. We are looking at the life of Abraham, and let me just give you a quick synopsis of about, I think we had four or five sermons in the life of Abraham. Abraham, in many ways, is unique, very unique, because it was through this man that we have received what's called monotheism, that there is one God, the true and living God. You look at other man-made religions, look at the American Indian and their different spirits. You look at Hinduism, where there are 10,000 gods. You look at other faiths, and they have many gods, but there is only one God, the living and true God, Jehovah. But one of the things why I like to preach on people is because, you know, when you study the Word of God, there are truths and principles and spiritual sort of platitudes. I'm not saying that negatively, but a spiritual truth. But when you see it in the life of a person, it almost becomes three-dimensional. And that's what we're looking at Abraham. We're looking at truths. And there are things I'm going to say this morning that all of you know. And we've all heard many, many times. But somehow seeing it worked out in flesh and blood in this man's life who really lived and really communed with God, it makes it more, sometimes for me, it makes it more, like I say, three-dimensional. It makes it more realistic, more realistic. Well, let me tell you what we studied briefly, which was, of course, in Genesis chapter 11, that Abraham is called. In chapter 12, God says to him that he wants him to leave from Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land that he's going to give to him. It's the first revelation. He goes with his father and brother. Eventually, his brother dies. His father also dies, and so he eventually comes to the land. And he tells Abraham, Abraham, this is your land. This is the land I'm going to give to you and promise to your forefathers. He said this to your descendants, I will give this land. This is Genesis 12 and verse 7. And so he built an altar there. It was called East of Bethel, it's called. And he continued to walk with the Lord. Then it says in Genesis chapter 12, there was a famine in the land. And so Abraham went to Egypt. He had no direction that he should go to Egypt. But he took things in his own hands. He went to Egypt. And of course, I said this before, when you think there's a problem where there is no problem, you create problems. He said, uh-oh, there's a problem here. There's a famine in the land. And God didn't tell him to go there. And maybe he, of course, he didn't trust that God would undertake and help him. But he obviously goes now to Egypt, and he has to start to fabricate a story about his wife. He said, oh, tell her she's my sister because they may do this. He began to interpret what they may do. It was, you know, it was just the beginning of a crash. Abraham was going to show he was a sinner. He was lying. He was deceptive. And finally, when the Pharaoh finds out, yes, it was the Pharaoh, finds out about his lying, he tells him, please get out of here. Please get out of here. How do you like it? Abraham says, but before I leave, can I give you a track about Jehovah? Let me give you a track. Here, just before, here, can I give you a track? He ruined it. He ruined it. And so in Genesis 13, we looked at this very briefly. I just want to go over it again. Abraham went up from Egypt to the Negev. He and his wife and all that belonged to him and Lot with him. Now, Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. He went to his journeys from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. You know what happened when this occurred? God took Abraham to the woodshed. He said, well, here we are. Here we are. Now, what do you got to talk to me about? Lord, I didn't listen to you. Lord, I took things in my own hands. Lord, I went to Egypt, a foreign land. Lord, I lied about my wife. Lord, I was a terrible testimony for you. Lord, and here I am. Here I am. Here I am. He brought him back with the place. Notice all the formally where he went to the beginning. Back to the beginning. And I said this before. God is always the point of a new beginning. You can have failed in many, many places, in many, many ways, constantly failing the Lord in an area, and yet, Lord, amazing, amazing. Lord, You're always the point of a new beginning. Paul said, the things that are behind me, I count as past. And I press on to the upward call that I have in Christ Jesus. If you live on your past, I'm going to tell you the type of day you're going to have today. Rotten. If you live on your past, I'm going to tell you what type of day you're going to have today. It's not going to be positive. And so God took Abraham to the woodshed. What did you learn, Abraham? What did you learn? What have you got from this? From this trial, what have you learned? So he brought him back here to the place where he formerly was and spoke to him. That's where we're at, and now we're moving forward in the new part of Abraham's life. Genesis 13, verse 5 to 8. Now Lot, who went with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. And the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling there in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between your herdsmen and your herds and their herdsmen, for we are brothers. Let me say something that's, I'm going to bring up a number of principles as we look at this. But notice that it says in the beginning, now Lot, who went with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. When you go back, if I can for a moment here, to the first part, notice it says in Genesis 13, now Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold. Oops. You know where Abraham got a lot of his wealth? I'll show you where he got it. He got it from Pharaoh. When he was in Egypt, it says this, therefore Pharaoh treated Abraham well for her sake, his wife, and Pharaoh gave Abraham sheep and ox and donkey and male and female slaves and female donkeys and camels. Be careful what you wish for, my friend. Did you hear what I said? Be careful what you wish for. This sin was going to have fruit that was not going to be positive in Lot's life. You may think, Abraham could have said this. Boy, you know, I know the Lord didn't direct me specifically to Egypt, but look how it's turned out. Wow, look, it's got to be a blessing from God. Look how he's blessed me. Look at my house. Look at my cars. Look at my boat. Look at my thing. Oh, I must be doing something right. Don't be careful what you wish for. Did you hear what I said? It could be your undoing. God sometimes has cursed people with blessings of plenty. The rich are fattened up for the day of slaughter, the psalm says. Abraham and Lot became prosperous through one of the means, through Pharaoh. He gave them these things. Be careful. To whom much is given, much is required. So here we see, interestingly, that Abraham was wealthy, and also that Lot had flocks and herds and tents. And so we find out that as this quote-unquote blessing was upon them, it created a problem. There was not enough land. The land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for the possessions were so great and they were not able to remain together. Notice, it didn't say their possessions were so great and they were so greatly blessed. They just had all these things and they were not able to remain together, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now, it's interesting that in a moment we're going to look at the passage where Abraham is going to say to Lot, Abraham, or Lot, just give me a little postage stamp of land. You can go wherever you want. Isn't it interesting that this is one of the lessons that Abraham learned? God gave Abraham the whole land, and he had to go to Egypt to find what he was looking for. And now what he's learned is, Lot, just give me a little postage stamp of land, because when I've got the Lord, it's enough. You follow? God gave him everything, and he had to leave to go to Egypt. Now he's just saying to Lot, he doesn't say to Lot, well, Lot, I need all this land, and can I just give you this little part right here? He says, Lot, you take wherever you want, because I know that God is with me. That's all I need. God is with me. And a little is a lot when you've got the Lord. A little is a lot when you've got the Lord. You know, when we have a trial, Abraham had a trial. We should always learn, what can I learn from this trial? What is God saying to me? Some of the trials we have, we bring upon ourselves. It's just our own ignorance, our own decisions we made. We bring it upon ourselves, but God is always wanting us to learn something from it. I've always said this. God is the only person that can take our sins and our mistakes and use them and turn them around for our good. Now, I'm telling you, there's nothing, there is no person, no power that can do that. When I make a mistake in my family, my wife doesn't usually have the power to turn it around for my good. But God can. God can. And so here, God came to show Abraham, Abraham, it's enough just having me. Just having me. And now he learned that principle specifically from the Lord when he went to the woodshed. So here is this strife. Here is this problem. And it said this, interestingly, now the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling then in the land. Why do you think the Lord wanted that little bit of item? Because who cares about that? Here it just says there's strife between Abraham's livestock and Lot's livestock. But then, oh, by the way, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling there in the land. I'll tell you why. Because they heard about this man coming, this foreigner, and he built this altar. And he talked about the one God, the Lord, who appeared to him. And he was probably going to see as a testimony, how are these people going to resolve their problems? You know what we do in the Perizzite land and the Canaanite land? We just go in war and we knock off each other's head. See, that's how the world will solve the problem. Get rid of the Perizzites. Get rid of the Canaanites. I think this is almost like what I've talked about the last 4 weeks. How is the church going to, how are you going to resolve your differences? That's a testimony. The Perizzites and the Canaanites were dwelling in the land. Let's see how these people solve it. Let's see what they do. Let's see that if Abraham says to Lot, Lot, you're just my nephew. You're just, who are you? Who do you think you are? You came along here. God didn't appear to you, Lot. God appeared to me. I'm the big cheese here. I'm Abraham. I'm the God. Whatever we do, it's always a testimony. People see it. Your children see what you do. Your neighbors see what you do. People at the office see what you do. You confess certain things, and yet it's always a testimony. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling there in the land. Let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Now, they weren't literally brothers. This was his nephew. But interestingly, he used that word. We're related. We're related. Just like in the church. We're related. We're related. It's a testimony of what God has done for us and through us. Let's go on. Genesis 13, 9 to 13. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right. And if to the right, then I will go to the left. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abraham settled in the land of Canaan. Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. So here you find, the whole land is before you. I mean, the principle. Before, let me just say this again. Before, God gave the whole land to Abraham and it wasn't enough. Now he says to Lot, Lot, the whole land is before you. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. When you have the Lord, you've got it all. If you have Jesus Christ, you have everything, because Jesus Christ is everything. And that's why eventually we're going to see Abraham's faith grow. It's going to grow and grow until finally God says to Abraham, Abraham, do you love me so much? Give me your son. I'll give you my son. You can't just grow like that instantaneously. He had to know ultimately that God was enough just to provide for him. God was enough that if his brother, if his nephew goes to the right, I'll go to the left. It's a step. It's a step. You grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And God is always trying to lead us to grow, 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 grow. Last 4 weeks of messages have been a growth for me to learn, to think, to pray. Look what he says here. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. Now, what does Lot do? Lot lifted up his eyes. Now, remember those words. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This is before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, that's almost in parenthesis. Can I read it again? This is what this, that it was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord. Like the garden of the Lord, of the Tigris and Euphrates, when Adam and Eve was in the garden of the Lord. He lifted up his eyes. Lot made a bad choice. A bad choice. He saw in greediness that this was better for him. In fact, at one point it says that he lifted up his eyes. He saw this. It says that Abraham settled in the land of the Canaanites. Lot settled in the city of the valleys. If I could just go on just for a second. I don't want to make a lot of mistakes here. I'm sorry. Just a minute. Just a second, I'm sorry. I know that, I've made a few boo-boos, so let me just go back. I'm sorry about that. See, I'm still learning, I know. I'm not so... Okay, he lifted up his eyes. He made a bad choice. Now, you know, this really goes along with James 1. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. James 1 says, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Abraham was going in one direction of growing in grace, and Lot suddenly was going in another direction that was not grace. He looked and he saw with his eyes this luscious land, and they knew about Sodom and Gomorrah. They knew about these people. And that didn't enter that perhaps I'm tempting with fire by getting close to this fire. He knew that. And yet he dissuaded it. He was carried away by his own lust. It gave birth to sin. And when sin was accomplished, it brought forth death. You know how I know? Look at this. Later, there is a place which we'll look at that Abraham went off on a battle. And one of the reasons he went off on a battle with these kings, five kings against four kings, because they also took Lot, Abraham's nephew, and his possessions and departed, for he was living in Sodom. You get this? At the beginning, Lot was not living in Sodom. He was living near the cities of Sodom. And then it was tempted in, and tempted in, and tempted in. Lust, temptation, death, the eyes, it's a little step that ultimately leads to destruction. Look at this. You know when the angels came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Look at this. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gates of Sodom. Let me just show you this. Abraham went to rescue Lot from Sodom, and when he left and he rescued him from Sodom, Lot is back in Sodom. Lot is back in Sodom. You know, it's sometimes we have in our Christian circles what we call the besetting sin. You know, there's a sin that you have and you just can't get over it. Oh, that's a lie. God doesn't want you to have a besetting sin. God doesn't want you to say, well, you're good at this, but you know, you've just tripped along this and you're making progress. No way. No way. This was Lot's condemnation. And I mean, what ends up with Lot, how finally he escapes and his wife is a pillar and then... And his two daughters, I mean, this is not good. This is not good. This is not good. Godly Abraham and unfortunately ungodly Lot. May I just go back for a minute and just show you, interestingly, what God says. Look what he says about Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot lifted up his eyes, saw all of the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. You know, God gets blamed for a lot of things. But you know something? Listen. God is willing to destroy something that's beautiful if it's not what his plan for it is. Here was beautiful land. This was a beautiful land, well watered. It was just like the garden of God. And God says, because of man's sinfulness, I'm going to make it into destruction. You know, God gets blamed for a lot of things. And you know what we ought to see? Man's sinfulness is the reason for a lot of things. Man's sinfulness. Don't blame God. But couldn't God control it? Man's sinfulness. Our sins will find us out. What you say in the secret will be proclaimed from the housetop. God is willing to destroy something beautiful if it turns out to be ugly in his sight. Look at man. Look at man, his noblest of creatures. It says that, you know, he has a vessel of honor, a vessel of dishonor. God will send people to hell. Man's, God's creation. But if they've sinned and they're sinners and they turn from me, they go their wicked ways, they go on the path of destruction, God is willing to destroy the well-watered, beautiful land like the garden of God because sin tainted it and destroyed it. Man's sinfulness destroys the works of God. Man's sinfulness destroys the works of God. Now, interestingly, I want to show you the difference with what happened with Abraham. Here was Lot was in Sodom. Lot again is in Sodom. And later, Abraham comes from the victory, listen, the victory of his campaign. And the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give the people to me. He came back with the spoil. Give the people to me, and you can keep all the goods for yourself. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours for fear that you say, I have made Abram rich. I'm not going to take anything. I'm not going to have a relationship with you. I'm not going to bargain with you. I'm not at all. This was Abraham's godly view of the sinfulness that was there, and Lot was sucked into it and tainted by it. Abraham, a totally different view. Totally the opposite side. Nothing to do, ultimately. Let's go on. Then the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Now remember what I said before, that Lot lifted up his eyes? Let me tell you, you've heard this a million times. A million times is this. When we obey the Lord, you have no idea how many blessings God wants to shower upon us. You take one foot step in obeying the Lord, and God says, I got a mile of blessings for you. You take one inch of obeying the Lord, whether it is guarding what your mind is thinking, guarding what your heart is thinking. You take one inch, God says, I've got a foot of blessings for you. Look what God now says to Abram. Abram, now let me lift your eyes up. Remember, Lot, he lifted up his eyes up and was tempted and was lured to his destruction. You lift up your eyes, Abraham, and look from this place where you are. Notice, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. All the land that you see, everything that you see, even where Lot went, that's going to be yours eventually. He's just renting it from me. You're the permanent owner of it. Northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and to your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. As the dust of the earth. You have no idea, Abraham, how much I want to bless you if you just follow me and stay in my will and obey me in the things that I have for you. And now you're learning. You had a wrong detour in Egypt. Now you're on the track. Let's stay on the track together. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. The dust of the earth. I'm going to bless you, greatly bless you. So that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants shall also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. Go, get up, walk around. Take a 26-mile marathon. Run as much as you want. Everything you see is going to be blessings to you. You know that hymn, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still. If we will only just trust and obey. That's what Abraham learned negatively from Egypt, and now he has learned it positively in opening up which way he wants to go. Which way he wants to go. I will give it to you. Then Abraham moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. You know where the oaks of Mamre and Hebron are? They are directly west, the opposite direction of Sodom and Gomorrah. You look at a map. By the way, where the Dead Sea is now, and this past November I was at the Dead Sea, which is nothing can live there. That's where they believe very strongly that Sodom and Gomorrah was. This just putrefaction of death. Salt, decay, nothing can live in it. Lowest part of the earth. They believe, I mean, even non-Christians, archaeologists, this is where these cities were that God destroyed with fire and brimstone. Abraham, I'm telling you, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Abraham said, well, I could stay here, but you know something? I got to get away from there. I know who I am. I got to get away from there. I was trying to protect my skin my way. Now, I need to do what's right God's way. And he moves to the west. And he goes and he dwells by these things called the Oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And there, notice, he built an altar to the Lord. Second altar. Before it was in Bethel, he started off good, went rotten, came back, had the woodshed. Now he goes to the new altar, and now he's starting over again. Let me tell you something interestingly. The word, the Oaks of Mamre, I like that because there's many wonderful things that occurred in Abraham's life. Now, the Lord appeared to him, this is Genesis 18, 1 and 2. The Lord appeared to him by the Oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. When he lifted up his eyes, isn't it interesting? Lifted up his eyes like Lot did, like Abraham did. He lifted up his eyes and he saw three men were standing opposite him when they saw him. He ran to the tent door to meet them and bowed himself. You know, these three men, this is a cosmic visitation of God. And where was he? At the Oaks of Mamre. The Oaks of Mamre. This is a very, you know, in the Old Testament, they talked about raising your Ebenezer. These rocks that symbolize something, a memorial. You and I, you have my attention, don't look at the verse. You and I need to always remember what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. You and I need to have our Oaks of Mamre, where God has done this for me, and God protected me from Sodom, and God had me go not this way, but that way, and God had me obey him, and God has blessed me with this land, and God has given me promises of my descendants. You and I need to always remember all that God has done for us. Look how, I mean, not only just what we have in Jesus Christ, but specific things. How God has watched over you. Has God has done things in your life. Personally. That's not my story, but your story. Where you had a specific time and place, or an incident, or a job, or a situation, or a hospitalization, or an experience, whatever it may be, where God showed himself and says, follow me, listen to me, obey me, draw close to me, and you can only realize what I have for you. Don't forget that. Don't forget those things. You know who forgot those things? David forgot those things. Let me just read here. This is David when he sinned against God. He committed adultery. He committed murder. And Nathan is sent by God to rebuke David because his consciousness was not doing it enough. And he says, you're an evil man. Then the Lord said, thus says the Lord God of Israel, it is I who anointed you king over Israel. It is I who delivered you from the hands of Saul. God goes back and rehearses these oaks of Mamre, these Ebenezers. Look what I did for you, David. Look what I accomplished for you, David. It is I that anointed you king over Israel. It is I who delivered you from the hands of Saul. It is I who gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your care. And I gave you the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And if it had been too little, I would add to you many, many more things like these. Don't blame God. Don't blame me. I have more for you. Don't blame me. We have to always remember. Listen. We have to always remember. Sin destroys, even if nobody sees it. Disobedience is deadly, even if nobody sees it. I had to fly on Friday. I flew to California, to L.A., because I did a concert at, where's Don Ortlund? Don Ortlund, is he here? Don Ortlund, there he is. I was in your brother's church, Lake Avenue Congregational. You know what I'm talking about? His brother pastored this church. So I gave a concert there Friday night. So there was a USA Today. The seven sins people do when they're away from their house. The seven things that people do when they're away from their house. Nobody sees. No, you're an idiot. You think that. Nobody knows. God knows. God knows. Again, this is what I like about learning and studying in life. I told you, I stood up here about a month and a half ago, and I said, the greatest thing about Abraham was that he was a sinner. He was a sinner. He was just like you and me. God called him just the way God called you. God blessed him just the way God blesses you. There was nothing in Abraham that commended him to God. He didn't look around and says, which people down there are? They try a little more than others. None of that. None of that. An ordinary man that God made great because God is great, not Abraham was great. And we are the sons of Abraham who believe in Jesus Christ. We are of his seed. We are of his descendants, of the faith of Abraham. And here you see how he had to rebuke David because David forgot what God had done for me. And all I could think about was my appetite, my sin, my desire, my being right, my winning the battle, my putting down somebody and lifting to make me look good. No. You and I have to always keep in our minds that no matter what anyone sees or doesn't see, that what we think, what we contemplate on, what we say affects the results of who we are, of who we are. You are the man. you are the man, David, that has done these terrible things. People are always looking for happiness in life. I made this, I remember years ago, that I wanted to, I haven't always done it, God knows, but I wrote down in a half day of prayer once that I wanted to really prove that a happy life was a holy life. If you want to be blessed are perfectly happy. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's even perfect. Blessed are the pure in heart. A happy life is a holy life. Abraham learned that. Abraham is now settled in this place of the oaks of Mamre. And now we look forward to the next part of what God has in store of leading up to the blessings of Abraham. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning because again we have looked at principles that we've heard many, 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 many times. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord, whether here or in eternity. We come to you again, Lord, to hear truths that we've heard many times, but now we see in this man's life. Keep us close to yourself. Help us to obey you. We don't live in a vacuum. Every day there are new temptations. The devil is not giving up on us. He still goes about like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. But help us to stand firm. Help us to obey you. Help us to draw near to you. Help us to hold on to you. To know that when we have you, we have the anchor of our lives, a sure anchor. Father, teach us these truths. Perhaps there's someone here this morning, a few people here this morning, that are struggling with a certain temptation, whatever it may be. May this word be planted in their hearts, Lord. May they see that to obey is better than sacrifice. To follow you is better than the riches of this world. The reproaches of Christ were greater than the riches of Egypt to Moses. So Lord, teach us from this man. Teach us from your word. Father, I pray you'd bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good one another in his love. You are dismissed. Thank you.